My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
In their appointed places and ready to do battle, though it's not a very serious battle, are the friendly antagonists of My Music. John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, Dennis Norden. John, a first question to you. Who composed this pretty waltz and who's singing it? Composer. It's one of his cabaret songs.
Ah, then it is Schoenberg.
Yes, it's Schoenberg, yes.
I've been at a concert and I've heard Jill Gomez sing the...
That's who you were hearing
and
then.
It sounds a bit like her.
It was indeed Jill Gomez.
You know, that sunny voice.
Frank, this 24 seconds of music from a 1947 film captures rather cleverly, I think, the personalities of first a vulgar pedagogue, and then two brothers named Ned and Charles, born over a century before. Who are they, Frank? Who the Dickens are they?
Oh. Vulgar pedagogue. Wetford Squeers.
Yes, Wetford Squeers.
Underestimate vulgar. Sort of homicidal, schizophrenic maniac, couldn't it?
Yes, perhaps so.
The others were the Cherryville brothers.
The Cherryville brothers.
Came in and solved a lot of problems.
They were in the 47 film with Nicholas Nickleby. The music was by Lord Berners. Eccentric, lovely gentleman, who, as you may know, Frank, devised the perfect means of getting a railway compartment to yourself. Do you know about this? He would get in the compartment that was empty, and then when it stopped at each station, he would stand in the window, beckoning people in. Come in, he would say, come in, come in, with a great beaming smile on his face. And, of course, nobody did. Nobody wanted to share a carriage with this madman.
J.B. Morton used to lower the window when the train stopped and say, "No, my dear, the horse is perfectly happy here."
Ian, it's your turn. The operatic world, Ian, is full of singers saying, "Let's have a glass of wine," or rather singing, "Let's have a glass of wine."
Yes, but they do it at all times.
Absolutely. Well, now, which one of them is this?
Wonderful. It's applying to vocal technique the absolute feeling of an automatic gearbox going effortlessly from one gear to another. And that is Placido Domingo.
It was indeed. That's Tudidu in...
The half of Cavan Pag.
Cavan Pag, yes.
Cavan of the other cab. He'd break all the glasses in sight, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Break all the glasses in sight.
I'm sure that would, yes.
Fabulous voice. Dennis... If it's true that the singer's duty is to interpret the words of a song, how do you feel about this?
We'll take Manhattan, the Bronx and Staten Island too. It's lovely going through.
Doesn't actually going through.
Yeah.
Do you recognise her?
Yeah, well, strange thing is that coming here tonight, I heard on the car radio an absolutely lovely record of her singing Willow Weep for Me. Dinah Washington.
Dinah Washington, yeah, that was right. Yeah. It was rather, that was rather a case of the tempo choosing the song rather than the other way around, wasn't it?
Name that tune.
Yeah. There was a period in the 1950s, I think it was, when all the pianists in popular music ever had to do was play. In the meantime, one or two remarks about music that I thought worth noting down. John, can you sort out a technical term for us, please? A pop songwriter wrote to me, John Philibert, his name. He was greatly delighted because he'd indicated to a record producer that one of his new songs ought to be sung, he thought, by a choir without accompaniment. Ah, yes, I see, said the producer. You want it sung completely Acapulco. Can you straighten us out, please?
Well, the term is a cappella.
A cappella.
Meaning in the chapel, presumably a chapel without an organ.
In the church style, unaccompanied a cappella, yes. Frank, this is from a letter. There's that thrush again. I can't afford it. He'll run me up a pretty bill for music. Besides, he ought to know. I deal at Clementi's. A lovely remark. From whom to his next door neighbour, please?
It's David Attenborough. He's not short of a penny, because to send a letter to your next-door neighbour is a bit extreme, isn't it?
It was in NW3 this occurred.
NW3?
Yeah.
No, that's Hampstead, isn't it?
Yes. Who was in love with his next-door neighbour in March 1820?
Keats.
Yes, thank you.
Fanny
John
Braun.
Keats writing to...
Fanny Braun.
Fanny Braun, yes. So, good enough. Ian, your comments, please, on a remark made by the great violinist Isaac Stern, who said once... Learning music by reading about it is like making love by mail.
It's both of them quite difficult things to do. Yes, I think I would entirely agree with that, except that, of course, as far as the second item is concerned, many, many people have at least added to considerably to their love affair by eloquence on paper to their beloved.
Yes.
So that, although I would agree that you can't learn music by reading about it, I think you can, in a sort of way, make love by mail.
Indeed. Like John Keats and Fanny Braun, for instance, yes. Dennis, have a wild guess at who said, the flute is not an instrument with a good moral effect. It is too exciting.
Oh, yeah. Wild. Frank Bruno. how... I don't know.
I got this from a book by one Frank Muir, actually.
Oh.
It was Aristotle who said the flute is...
It is, actually.
Too exciting.
Flautist... if in the sense of exciting it's eyebrow-raising, they do play with their eyebrows, don't they, flautists? I don't know much about music, but I know that when people play the flute, the eyebrows go up and down all the time.
I'm just thinking of Jimmy Corby.
On the piano, let me sketch out some song references to well-known buildings around the world. For instance, this line from the Gershwin song for John. Which building is that, John? It's lost its charm, whatever it is.
The British Museum.
Oh, I thought you'd know that. No, the British Museum has lost its charm. No, from the Foggy Day. Frank, which building is this?
Little White House.
Yeah, Little White House.
Little White House. I want a little white house with a window.
Or remember, wasn't it Francis Day saying, I want... Ian, you have a choice of two famous buildings with this half dozen bars.
Oh, if you're the top...
Yes,
there's all sorts. I mean,
there's one in France, an art gallery.
The Louvre in Paris.
Museum. Rhymes with museum?
The Colosseum.
That's right, yes, you're the top. Danny, say a couple of bars from the middle bit of a song.
Winchester Cathedral.
Thank you, yes. Mm-hmm. And here's one for the audience. Anybody shout out who knows the answer. You're older than you look. just place a keyword, will you, from some old half-forgotten song. John, where will I find in a vocal piece of music the word knavish?
Tricks.
Knavish tricks, yes. The song being...
Verse 2 of God Save the Queen,
yes,
or King, or
whatever.
Anthem,
that's right.
The Duke.
Yeah,
the Duke.
Frank, the word incidentally.
You've got my eyes on me. I mean, I've got my eyes on you.
Yes.
Incidentally.
That's right, yes.
My eyes on you.
Ian, irreplaceable.
embraceable.
Yes, embraceable you.
You.
And Dennis, it's not very difficult. Granulated.
Sugar.
It's actually... Sugar. It's granulated. Sugar. Yeah. Film favourites. Movie music. Let's just test your memories. John, the instrument, please. The performer. The name of the film. Even the director's name. Sounds difficult, but it's as easy as falling off a big wheel in Vienna. John.
Harry Lime theme.
Yes.
Played on a zither.
Mm-hmm. By?
By?
Anton.
Anton.
Karas. Anton Karas. That's right.
Tell you the thing about the first time I went to Vienna, I got a taxi from the airport and the driver spoke English. And he said, have you ever been to Vienna before? And I said, no. He said, would you like me to point out all the historic buildings as we go from the airport to your hotel? And I said, yeah. So we drove, and we drove past some beautiful buildings, and he never opened his mouth. And I'd like to ask him, and we passed these schlosses and all these wonderful palaces and whatnot, and we finally pull up in a very nondescript little square, and he pointed at a doorway, and he said, you see that doorway there? And I said, yeah.
Yes.
He said, that's where you first saw Orson Welles in The Third Man, when the cat ran out from the doorway and you saw his foot and you looked upwards. And then he started the cat and never mentioned another one all the way to
the man after your own heart.
Yeah. The director of the film The Third Man, in case anybody wants me to say, was Carol Reed. Frank, your turn. Gregory Peck, Gene Simmons, Charlton Heston, and a memorable part for Burl Ives.
Listen, the sort of archetypal piece of music.
Absolutely.
The Big Country.
The Big Country, yes.
Yeah. It was one of these feud and cattle thingies, the usual.
It was a feud over water rights. That's
what you'd expect.
Yes, the usual. Yeah. It was plot three.
Right. Widescreen, wasn't it? Wasn't it one of the early widescreens?
I think so, at the very least, yes, probably.
Well, you'd need it, wouldn't it? Get all the orchestra in.
Ian, Mantovani's version of an all-too-familiar tune, but who was the leading actress, and can you have a stab at the composer's name?
Aristotle.
Well, I think the film was never on Sunday.
Yeah.
And the actress was Melina Mercouri.
That's right, with Jules Dassin, that's right.
And
composer.
My stab at the composer would be impossible, because I just don't know.
Manos Hadjidakis was the composer.
Good.
Good for him. Dennis, let's have the lot. The title, director, stars, composer. That's a good tune, I think.
Isn't it? Yeah.
The film?
Very good tune, though.
Well,
excellent. There's one film composer who I can never find the name of, but he was known in Hollywood as the king of the title themes because he had this knack of getting a cymbal crash the moment the producer's name made an appearance. He had a cymbal part.
Even I, in my humble way, have done that a time or two. It's not a bad idea.
So what was the film?
Spellbound.
That's Miklos Rozsah.
Yes, and title director of the stars.
Yes, Hitchcock, David Selznick produced it.
Yes.
Ingrid Bergman,
no, right,
Gregory Peck. Not very good, actually. I didn't think Gregory Peck. Not really Gregory. Rozsah, of course, had done possibly the most quoted bit of film music because he did Dum Dum Bum.
Oh yeah.
Dragnet in The Killers.
Yeah.
You know.
I should think you even know who wrote the screenplay of Spellbound.
Ben Hecht.
Ben Hecht with Angus MacPhail from Francis Beeding's novel, yeah. A quick one just for the audience, very quick. Which film does this remind you of? Alfie! Not Budgie, but Alfie. Yes, Alfie. I wouldn't like a whole series of my music programmes to go by without fishing out my trusty old cigar box. This is where you identify tunes, please, from just their rhythms.
Or not.
Surprisingly easy. John, it's a double one for you. This by... I'll give you a little count in for the tempo each time. This by Brahms in 1876... One, two. Was followed by this from Mahler in 1895. Can you give them numbers, please?
Well, you know I never get these, so I wouldn't like to disappoint you.
Well,
Brahms number two, yes.
Number one, actually. First symphony.
All right.
And what about the Mahler? Don't know.
Don't recognize.
Mahler three.
I mean, I know the tune, but I don't...
Yes, there's the Mahler's third symphony.
Thank you.
Your turn, and this is dead easy, right? One, two, three, four. Thank you, yes, fascinating rhythm. Yours, Ian, is a waltz of a kind. One, two. Tweet, 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 tweet.
Let's all sing like the birdies
yes,
sing.
Yes, thank you, right. Dennis, again, like Frank's, very easy, really. One, two, three, four.
Just sounds like a chap knocking on a box. Did you find it?
It actually sounds like my next door neighbour hanging pictures.
Yeah. It's awfully clever. Oh, life is just a bowl of cherries. Yes. Yeah.
Life is just a bowl of cherries. I can't resist one for the audience. Everybody knows what it is, but what is it? Right, one, two. Yes, but what is it? Nobody knows. It's a piece from 1886 called The Skirt Dance, written by somebody called
Lutz.
And Richard Murdoch, I always remember, had a lovely lyric. Remember, Harry Cobeans and Pearly Queens will cost you 70 quid. Give me a piece of grated cheese with fourpence on the lid, and so on.
But they were singing Mademoiselle from Armentieri.
Well,
they got it wrong.
That's their privilege. No more.
They're non-smokers.
Yeah. Which would you prefer, a rose, a mistress, a promise, or a fling? You can have all four in these final songs. The rose is second-hand rose, which Frank sings. Well, so does Barbara Streisand, but in this case it's Frank.
She's wearing second-hand hats and second-hand clothes,
That's why they call us Second Hand Rose. Even a piano in the parlor, a father bought for 10 cents in the dollar. Second hand pearls, she's wearing second hand curls. She never gets a single thing what's new. Even Jake the plumber, who's the man in her life, he had the nerve to tell her that he once had a wife. Everyone knows that she's just second-hand Rose from Second Avenue.
I mentioned a mistress, and it's a mistress in Shakespeare's O Mistress Mine from Twelfth Night. The songwriting team is probably not one you've come across before. The words by William Shakespeare, the music by Steve Race. John, may I have the honour of your performance, please?
Yes, and I like the instruction, which gives a clue to the thing, ruefully. Mistress mine, where are you roaming? Stay and hear your true love's coming, that can sing both high and low. Trip no further, pretty sweeting, journey's end in lovers meeting, every wise man's song doth know. Every wise man's son doth know. What is love? 'Tis not hereafter. Present mirth hath present laughter. What's to come is still unsure. In delay there lies no plenty. Then come kiss me, sweet and twenty. Youth's a stuff will not endure. Youth's a stuff will not endure. Youth's a stuff will not endure.
Next. Oh, yes. The old Victorian or Edwardian ballad is something of an Ian Wallace speciality, but Ian doesn't have an exclusive copyright on them. Dennis can sing a ballad, too. This one, being by R.P. Weston and Bert Lee, is perhaps more properly described on the song copy as a burlesque ballad. It's called I'll Promise You.
My life was lonely till you made it sunny. You know I only want you for yourself alone, dear. Just say the word, and on the wedding morn, the family jewels shall be yours. I'll get them out of where I keep them. I'll promise you a love that's just divine. I'll be your swain, and you shall be my sweetheart ever. I'll guarantee that of joy you'll have your full worth. I've a fine engagement ring, I purchased it from Oxford Circus. I'll promise you I'll be faithful and true, and I'll love you, dear, always. Cupid with roses shall strew our happy path. We shall quickly settle down, and in the aftermath, I'll come home every Friday night and see you have your wages, dearie, if you'll name the happy day.
Oh. After that, Ian could hardly sing a serious ballad, could he? Instead, I promised you a fling. This is Ian's one and only Highland fling.
When I went romancing, I gave no thought to any wedding ring. Every bonny lassie was my Highland fling. No chance was I chancing, I'm not the man you dangle on a string. I was canny waiting for the real, real thing. Though I danced each girl in the twist and twirl, not one would do. And I went my way till the fatal day, in the fling I was flung with you. Oh, now my heart is prancing, gay as a lord and happy as a king. The years I'll weather in the home or on the heather with my one and only Highland fling. Woo!
Fred Astaire, who introduced that song in a film called The Barclays of Broadway. Here, though, far from Broadway, but only a pebble's throw from Piccadilly Circus, we've been having a bit of a quiz. And the winners this week are John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
In My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.